great to have you all. It's great to have the Salt Choir here. They'll be singing for us in a wee moment. Our opening hymn is God the Uncreated One. And words up on the screen, yep. And just stand to sing after the music. For this blessed evening, Lord. Thank you that we're all here, Lord, and thank you that so many have come out, and thank you for the all the great things this evening, Lord. Thank you for the soul choir, Lord. Thank you that there's so many young people, Lord, willing to serve you. And I just pray for Phil Harton, Lord, as well, as he's coming to speak after the singing, Lord. And thanks, I pray that anything he says, Lord, will come from you, Lord. I pray that people would be challenged, Lord, would be encouraged, maybe, Lord, and everyone would come out with something from this meeting, Lord. And I just pray that you bless this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm just going to ask now for the Salt Choir to come and sing their first two pieces. So, come on.
Oh,
well done to the Sock Choir. They sang really well, and they'll be coming to sing again just in a little while. Sock Choir sang great, and they'll be coming up in a wee minute, but for now, we're just going to change room positions and stand and sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and I'll stand after the music. Where's our music? Salt Choir to come up now and sing their final piece, and after that, Phil Harton. if will come up and give us a message. All right.
Personally, I was really encouraged by the young people tonight, and it was great to hear them singing God's praises, isn't that right? And well done, young people. Let's give them a wee round of appreciation, and thank you. Well done. Thank you, young people. Now, I'm reminded tonight that some people say, well, the young people are the church of tomorrow, but how important it is that they are the church of today, and praise God for them for using their talents and abilities. I wish I had half the ability. So the musicians and all the singers, and what a blessing it was. Well done to, was it Noah? Was up there, Noah? You're going to be taken over here in a couple of years, so you keep preparing there, okay? Amen. Okay, so I was thinking about tonight, and I've simply entitled tonight's message to the young people, and hopefully it's a blessing to you, young people, and it brings a challenge from God's word. And I was thinking about this summer, and I was thinking about the summer will soon be here, and well, there will be lots of places visited, and I wonder, do any of you go to the port Anybody go to the port? Put your hand up. Maybe there's some people, that'll take some people down a trip down memory lane. Put your hand up if you used to go to the port in the summer. See your boys there, and you get the shades and all on, and you'll be it's cruising along there in the car and all the rest of it. And summer is an exciting time, isn't that right? But you know, as summer comes, there are many, many temptations that it brings. And someone once said this, and I'm just saying this few words by way of introduction tonight. And someone said, God's word will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from God's word. Isn't that right? And so this summer, what I say to you young people and to all of us, and I speak this to myself, don't give up daily time with God and his word. You know, it guides us, doesn't it? It guides us into all truth. And it keeps us from living out a summer of spiritual defeat and regret. And how often we can regret things. Why? Because we don't spend time with the Lord. And very often his word then keeps us from sin. So for some of you, as I was thinking about this tonight, well, the summer will bring, maybe reveal that you haven't maybe done enough in your exams. To get you maybe on the course or to get you where you want to be in September. So what if after all the hard work you've put in and all the graft, what if you fail the grades? That would be a challenge. That would be a challenging time, wouldn't it? But here's the thing. Is that the end? If you fail your exams, is that the end? No. You know, there are times in our lives when young people, our disappointments are often God's appointments. So you try your best. You do what you can. But remember, always remember that our disappointments can be God's appointments. And sometimes God has another path. Maybe than the path you have decided and the path you want to go down. Perhaps God has another one and a much better one at that. So hold on and keep trusting the young person this summer. Through all the excitement, through the good days and even the days of disappointment, the Lord is still there. Maybe there's some this summer and you're starting new placements or even maybe even starting out into employment. Or maybe some are maybe even thinking about a relationship and you're hoping that that person of your dreams, the next time they meet you, will maybe say, well, hello. I see Joanne smiling down there. You can tell us later, okay, how you met William and all the rest of it. But listen, young people, the summer is in front of you. Many different things that we're going to face, perhaps. And yet, we remind it to seek God first. And sometimes, summer can bring unexpected changes. And so what God has put in my heart tonight is the story of three men, but particularly one man, whose life experience was going to enter a season of great change. Change from what he had known all his life, there was going to be a season of change. And so this is what I want to think about tonight. So first of all, what I'd like to do is just to pray. And let's bow our heads now and just pray that the Holy Spirit of God will even be pleased to use his word and to stir hearts even tonight and make that impact in lives for God's glory. Father, we thank you for the words that the young people have been singing tonight. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look to the hillside where justice and mercy meet. And so, Father, we come to the cross tonight. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And also, Lord, tonight, even in the lives of young people and older people, what you're doing. We thank you for all your blessings to us. We just thank you tonight. But Lord, we come to you now, Lord, and we just come needy. We come, Lord, and we pray tonight that the Spirit of God may challenge our hearts through your word. Help me tonight. Lord, I am nothing, but oh God, fill me afresh. And we pray that, Lord, you will be pleased to do your work in hearts and in lives tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I was here first. Move you over. Get out of the road. Do you not know I've been waiting here for half an hour to see this man? That might have been what people were saying way back. And we think about here, we're thinking about Luke 5 and the verses 4. So if you've got your Bible with you, look it up and let's see what we're talking about here. What is it? What was all the shoving and pushing and maybe arguing and pushing forward of the crowd? They were pushing forward. Where were they pushing? They were pushing forward to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here in Luke chapter 5, and we see that the crowd had come forward so much that Jesus, he steps back, he's along the seashore, and he gets into a little ship, a little empty fishing boat, pushes offshore a little, sits down and continues to preach to the people assembled. The great crowds that had gathered along the shore, vying to get his attention, vying to hear what he had to say. In one of these boats we think about a man who would have worked at Simon Peter. And after Jesus finished preaching, he had a personal message to speak to Peter, for Peter. And perhaps tonight there's someone sitting here tonight in Belie Baptist Church, and perhaps there's a personal message for just one person tonight. I want you to take a look at Luke chapter 5. I've given you a little introduction. We're going to start here at verse 4. And we're simply going to read one verse. And it's speaking here of Jesus. And verse 4 of chapter 5 says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon," that's Simon Peter, and here's the two words that I want us to think about tonight, "launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And the very first thing I want us to note tonight is, here is a call to action. What are the two words that Jesus is saying? He's saying these words, "launch out." Well, as I think about a summer of opportunity, and that's what I'm going to call it tonight for young people, there's a summer of opportunity, an opportunity of a summer that you will never, ever, ever get the chance to live again. Older person tonight, it's an opportunity the summer presents for you as well. And so as I think about that, these words tonight, "launch out for God." Launch out for God. And so we think about this call to action of the Saviour. And the very first thing I noted when I was reading this was the location. Where's the location? So he said here, Simon Peter, launch out into the deep. Into the deep, the deep waters. There weren't going to be, Jesus wasn't saying go out into the shallows there. No, go out into the deep. Well, as I think about going out into the deep, that can bring challenges. I was just chatting today, this afternoon, and we were thinking just about, I know over here there's somebody, and they've done the Ironman Challenge. And I think about swimming out in the ocean. And I love swimming in the ocean, as long as it's sandy down below. But when you get away out there and you see all this seaweed and kelp and your bikini, it makes you swim faster to get out of it, isn't that right? And I think about that, those deep waters. You know, I had the opportunity to go yesterday, and in all my madness, I've done it was like a sponsored walk, 12 kilometres up in the Mourne Mountains, and my legs are like lead here, just there, they're like jelly. But you know what keeps you going? What was keeping us going was this, people with us, people walking the journey with us, and going on. If I'd have been there myself, see, after the first couple of miles, I would say, tell you what, I'm out of here. I'm away back down to Newcastle. I'll go to Maud's instead. That sounds better. Anybody like their ice creams? Yes. Uh-huh. But here's the thing. They were to go out into the deep. And as they were to do that, the Lord was speaking to Peter, James, and John. And as they went together, they could encourage one another. And so in the work of God, we think about encouragement. Young person, you need encouragement. But you can also be an encourager. Older person, I wonder, are you an encourager to the younger? I think of Paul the Apostle and how he encouraged young Timothy. And how as Timothy would go through deep waters and difficult times, that Paul the Apostle would be with him and would give him good advice. You know, it's good to have a mentor. Older people in life that will give you a little bit of help when times are tough. Young person, have a mentor as you serve the Lord and as you go through your life. You know, as I thought about a hike in the mountains, I think about swimming in the ocean. Do you know, it can be tough physically and it can be tough mentally. But here is a call to action. And we know that the Lord would be with his people, and he's with you and I. So we cannot take up our cross and follow Jesus Christ on our own. We need to launch out with his help and with God's grace. But you know, the deep waters were where the fish were. And the fish weren't in the shallows, they're in the deep waters. And for you that wants to live for Jesus Christ, you know, it can be difficult as you go to tell others about the Lord Jesus. It can seem like deep waters that kind of overflow you at times, and you feel that you can't do it, and you're overwhelmed. But you know, here is the word of the Savior to you tonight, young person, that he says, launch out. He's going to be with you. And we're going to see that a little later on. But you know, as parents, speak a little second to parents here tonight. You know, we want to see our children going on with God. But you know, they look to us as well. And it's important that we practice what we preach as well. That's a big challenge. And when we want to see them going on with God, what about us? Are we going on with God? Are we setting that example? We want to see them perhaps being missionaries among their own peers. Well, what about us? Are we taking up the challenge with our neighbours and with our workplaces? I wonder, are you doing something for the Lord? A call to action. Then, not only do we see a call to action, we've seen the location, it's out in the deep, but we also see the command. And in verse 4, here's the Saviour, and he tells them to let down your nets. Let down your nets. We're thinking here about evangelism. We're thinking here about reaching out to others with the gospel. And what a wonderful picture this is. But maybe you're someone here tonight and you say, Phil, been there, wore the t-shirt. I once walked with God, with the Lord, but tonight I'm not doing that. And tonight maybe finds you drifted away. But the word to you tonight here is to get back and do what God's calling you to do. Be who he calls you to be. And the Savior was saying to these men, let down your nets. I wonder if there's someone tonight and you need to come back to that place where you once walked well with the Lord. This is an opportunity for you tonight. Don't miss it. Well, when I think about not only the command, but I think about when the Savior was given the call, the action, there's a promise. And what was his promise? Well, the promise was here in verse 4. Let's look at it again. It says, let down your nets for a draught or for a catch. And you know, as we serve the Lord and we faithfully perhaps speak to our neighbours, people in our work, just whoever we can, about the Lord Jesus, sometimes it can be discouraging. Sometimes it is difficult. And there's times you may feel exhausted. And you do wonder, Lord, what are you doing? And it's happened to me personally. There's times when you come home maybe from a youth weekend and you wonder, Lord, we give it our all, but nothing seemed to happen. There didn't seem to be much fruit. But then we have to lean on the Lord Jesus. Isn't that right? His timing is perfect. Because sometimes as we wait on in the Lord, we bring our problems to him. We leave it there. And then a few months down the line you hear, did you hear about such and such? They were along at that. And maybe you're a youth leader tonight. And maybe a young person will come to you 4 or 5 years down the line and say, do you remember that youth weekend? Do you remember that youth Sunday school teacher? Do you remember that wee Sunday school class? That's what really got me thinking. The lesson you taught that day from God's word. And you know, God's timing is perfect. It really is. So, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 are verses that we often love to quote, but it's so true. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Another wonderful promise. You know, I thought about Noah. He preached there when he was building that ark. But we don't read of anyone outside his own family. In that dark and culture and depraved culture that he lived in, we don't see many results of all the preaching. But yet in the New Testament, when you go there to Hebrews 11, And there you see him there in that hall of fame, as it were. So what I'm saying to you, young person tonight, older person, you're trying your best to serve the Lord. You just keep going. You don't know what the Lord will do. And it's his promise and the promises in his word that we're called to hold on to. So we had a call to action, and then we realize that in verse 5, let's turn to verse 5, the next verse, that faith in Christ is the key. Verse 5 tells us, and Simon Peter answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You see, Peter's confidence here was in the Lord Jesus. He had spent time with the Lord Jesus. He was, and as I think about relationship here, I think about when we spend time with that person in our lives that we truly love. You know, we want to spend time with them, don't we? And the more time we spend with them, the more we get to know them. And we spend time getting to know, building that relationship. And here's Peter. And Peter himself was kind of thinking, well, why should I do it? Sure, I've already done that. We threw the net out all night and caught absolutely nothing. Why would I go and do it again? But then he knew it was the Lord Jesus speaking, the one that he was trusting. And Peter's actions, they were based on his experiential trust of the Saviour. And so faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, young people and older people tonight, is the key. Thirdly, in verse 6, we're going down through this chapter, and we see a promise received. Verse 6. Take a wee look at it there. Verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. A great multitude. Lots of fish here now in this net. And here we see, not what really the disciples had done. They had simply obeyed. But we see the results. The promise received. There was a great draft of fishes. You see, they had tried doing it their way previous to this, and they failed. And young person and older person, we all know, if we try to go and do something in our own strength, very often we fail, isn't that right? And we make a mess. And sometimes God takes a mess and turns it into a message that we can learn from it. We learn from our mistakes. But how much better if we are to do it God's way? I wonder if you get any favourite missionaries or people that way down through the years that you really learnt a lot from. And they're maybe not even alive today, but people that you really, their story sticks in your head. Well, George Mueller was one of those people for me. And George Mueller, he made this little quote. He said this, God's work done God's way will never, ever lack God's supply. And you know what? Very often today, sadly, throughout, many believers today feel that they have to just copy what the world's doing. I think they're about perhaps even people and places, and they think, well, to do God's work, we need to get lots of money, so we need to go to the national lottery, or we need to go to the East. But ultimately, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. God meets the need. We receive his promise, and we can see the results of prayer and faith when we pray. Here's a wee lesson George Mueller learned. Maybe you know a story. He was going to set up some orphanages. He was originally from Germany. Came to Bristol. He's a pastor. He sees a plight of many, many children who were street children, who were begging on the streets. And even as he would go about his ministerial work in the city, there would be children begging from him. So him and his wife got to praying, and they prayed that God would help them to help these children. And so what would they do? They were going to buy a house, and a little terrace house, and there they would try and provide a home for these children. And so they got all the advertising done. They got all the equipment. People gave them loads of stuff. And they were all set up and ready to go. And as they opened the doors of that house on the first day, do you know how many children there were from the streets that came in? Anybody going to have a guess? Come on, guys. Go ahead. Anybody? Shout up. Go. Who said none? Who was that? And you're exactly right. Well done. You should have put your hand up because Noel was going to give you tenner to the winner. But anyhow, so there we think about that. None. None. Absolutely none. Now, what happened? Well, George and his wife, bitterly disappointed. And what did they do? They got into their little kitchen that day or that night. And they got down on their knees and they prayed. To ask the Lord to really do something here. If this was his will, he would bring the children in. And do you know what happened when they opened up the next time? The house was full. Full of children. In fact, they had to buy more houses. And eventually building huge orphanages there out in the city of Bristol. Amazing. God's work done God's way. And he received the promise. You see these men here? They received the promise. God told, the Lord Jesus told them to put out their nets. And that they would have a great catch of fish. And that's exactly what happened. God keeps his promise. And then we see in verse 8. I'm going to jump down to verse 8. And here you can read Simon Peter. When he saw all of the great catch, he fell down at Jesus' knees. And here's what he said. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I am a sinful man. You know, we see from this God is holy. We are not. We are sinners. Peter's a sinner. But here we see God's undeserved favor, his grace to Peter and to the disciples. Grace that the hymn writer could say is amazing. John Newton, he would pen those words, amazing. You're very quiet tonight. Amazing. How sweet the that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. Well, we all know tonight that we are not worthy. We are not worthy of the least of God's blessings. But I thank God tonight that he would choose ordinary fishermen that were undeserving. I praise God tonight he would take a shepherd boy who was undeserving called David and he would use him for his glory. Thankful that the woman at the well who had a history of all sorts of moral issues and a history in her community, that God's grace could reach her and God could use her for his glory. And she would go back into her village and tell the people, come see a man that told me all things that ever I done. Is not this the Christ? You know, dear friend, tonight, you might think you're the worst person in this meeting tonight. You might think you're only here to maybe put in an hour or because someone's invited you. But you know, God's grace has brought you here. And God, perhaps through his word tonight, is speaking to you. And he's calling you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that came to Calvary's cross, who suffered and he bled and he died for undeserving sinners like you and me. And all you have to do tonight is receive his forgiveness. You know that someone once said, it was at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Have you come tonight with burdens? Are you burdened down? You feel like throwing the towel in? You wonder, what is the point in life? Why am I even here? And yet the Lord Jesus tonight, he's reaching out to you by his with his grace, with his mercy, with his love. I wonder, will you accept him tonight? You know, in verse 10, we read here of, well, let's read it. Verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And this is the wee bit I want you to get. And Jesus said unto Simon, two words, fear not. Fear not. You see, the omniscient Lord, he knew their fears. He knows yours and he knows mine. And Jesus was commissioning them for service. They were to leave all that they knew. Fishermen, just ordinary people. But God was calling them to do something extraordinary. And it was going to be a huge step. There was going to be uncertainties about the future. There was going to be fears. I think about my own life. I think about 20 odd years ago. And perhaps this is for some young persons maybe out tonight. And you feel God is calling me to do something different than what I set out on my journey to do. And you know, if that is you tonight, keep reading God's word. Here's what jumped out to me all those years ago. Someone was speaking in a meeting, and then I heard it in another meeting, and God confirmed it. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You know, I wanted to go and serve the Lord. But there was other things I thought about. I had fears at that stage. Sharon and myself, we were married. We had a mortgage. We had three children. And I thought about this, and fear came into my life. I thought, I want to serve you, Lord, but it's not very often the way. I want to serve you, Lord. I'll give you me all. I surrender all. But here's the problem. I need money in the bank to pay this bank for this mortgage. I need. What if? And really what it came down to was fear. Very often a lack of trust. And the question came to me when I went for a job interview to work with young people and helping young people, because I remember saying to my wife Sharon, I says, that's something I believe God is calling me to do. I've been doing it in the church for years, and I'm running out of time. There's not enough time in the day to do it, and I believe this is where God is calling me. She says, you better hurry up, you're going to be far too old. Job's comforter. But she encouraged me. She did encourage me. And when it came down to it, I was offered this position, and then I thought, whew, well, the Lord had opened the door, and I didn't know, will I go through or will I not go through? Fear, you see, can paralyze us young people. Older person, maybe God's calling you to do something a wee bit different. And fear can paralyze you as well, and you'll think, what if? But you know, God calls us to go through with him. And when he offered me that, I said, can you give me another couple of days? And the girl said, well, we give this opportunity for you. You don't have all the qualifications for it. We skipped over other people because we felt you were the person. And I says, I still need a couple of days to think this through. But you know, God brought us to it. And you know, young person, if God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. And you know, as I look back, I thought, what was all the fears about? What was it all about? It's only the enemy very often throws up those fears and wants to stop us in the plan and purpose of God. God is faithful. He will be with us. He says tonight, fear not, fear not. Even though change is coming, fear not. That's what the Lord Jesus said. There are many other things we could talk about tonight. Our time is almost gone, but I think about the purpose in verse 10. What was the purpose of it all? There in verse 10, in those last few words, it says, henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Here's evangelism. Here it is. To go. And that's what the great commission the Lord Jesus Christ gives everyone that's his child tonight. He wants you to go. Not this week, just to go and do everything you want to do. But actually to go and to take the opportunities. Ask him for opportunities, and he will give you the opportunities. And he calls you to be faithful, to be a fisher of men, women, young people, reaching out to those that are lost. We need to stop for a moment, don't we? And we need to think about the reality of this. That there are many people in our families and those in our communities living all around us that are lost in their sin. And you know, if they don't ever get saved, they're going to go to a lost eternity in hell. Not just for a week or a year, but for eternity, forever and ever. And the great commission God calls us to is to go to those people and to tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Jesus wants us tonight to be soul winners for him. We might not see much fruit, but he calls us to be faithful. Samuel Rutherford was a minister that lived in Scotland. Can't remember the little place he lived in. But he said this when he came to the end of his life. He looked back and he would say this, if there is one soul from, I think the place was called Anwith, then my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. If he had won one soul. And you know, tonight, all we're called to do, young person, older people, in our university, in our schools, in our workplaces, among our neighbours, in our community groups, in our schools, wherever God has placed us, he calls us to be faithful. But you know, tonight we can bring that good news of the gospel. But what, perhaps tonight, if there's someone and you're not yet saved? And I'm describing you tonight, that if you do not accept God's offer of mercy in the gospel tonight, you do not receive his forgiveness. And the Bible tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If you do not receive his offer of mercy and you go out into God's eternity, you will be lost forever and ever. That's what the Bible tells us. And so tonight it's my responsibility, with God's word open, to challenge you, what about it tonight, young person or older person? Will this be the night when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? And then we'll finish with this. The call obeyed. The call here obeyed. At the end of verse 11, we read this. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. There they are. They brought the ships in, the boats in. They brought in the great draft of fishes. And they left their boats and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They obeyed the call of the Master. He was telling them to go through with God. I'm reminded of a man from Bangor. I don't know if any of you ever heard of him. I'm sure you have. His name was called Noel Grant. Noel Grant. He wrote a little song, and it's entitled Go Through With God. And here's a couple of words from that particular song. It says this: the call of God, it is so clear. Oh, leave thy all and follow me. Young person, older person, launch out for God. He will be with you. He will help you this summer to serve him. Take the opportunities that come your way, because we don't know if we will have another summer to serve the Lord Jesus. Do you know, I had a friend, a really good friend, and I remember serving the Lord in my church. I'm imperfect, made mistakes along the way, but the Lord is faithful. But I remember him coming to me one day, and he was in business, and he said to me, I'd love to do what you're doing. Maybe someday I'll do it. Do you know, here's the sad reality. He didn't get the opportunity to do it. You see, his time on earth was almost up, and we do not know what tomorrow brings. So what am I saying? I'm saying, young person, tonight, take the opportunity this summer. Launch out into the deep and reach precious souls for Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. The Savior says, fear not. Why? Here's the wonderful words. For I am with thee. And I think about God's word tonight. And I think about that wonderful word of promise, where the Lord himself says, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't know who you are tonight. You maybe come in here a little bit discouraged, but I want you to hear God's word tonight, to launch out into the deep. And God is building his church. He wants you to be part of his work in launching out to be fishers of men and women. And that's my prayer tonight, that God will help me to do that, and that God would help you. And young person, your life is precious. Just make it count for the Lord Jesus Christ, even this summer. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven tonight, we thank you, Lord, for the challenge that your word brings. And Lord, you tell us to launch out, not to sit back, not to pamper ourselves with all the things and the gadgets that this world can give. But you call us, Lord, to action. And I pray that, Lord, you will help us to waken up to the reality all around us. Father, often we lament that perhaps that churches are shrinking and it seems as if there are fewer and fewer laborers. But, oh God, help us to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll go. I'll do what you call me to do. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help your servants, help these young people, help each one in the building to be what you call us to be and to launch out for the Lord this summer. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for all that you've done. And Lord, I realize that the least that we can do is to serve our wonderful Savior in the little time that we have on this earth. Father, bless your word tonight. Encourage your children. Thank you for a pastor here. Thank you for a church and oversight that, Father, have the vision to encourage young people and to reach others for Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us this summer. Encourage our hearts and lead us on with yourself. And Father, tonight, maybe that one person tonight that's still not saved, Lord, may this be the night where they repent of their sin and trust the lovely Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Phil. And we're just going to sing our closing hymn, In Christ Alone. I'm going to drop the screen after. Stand up for the music. Father in heaven, we do praise your name for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, Lord, even as we've just been singing those final words, in Christ alone my hope is found. Father, we praise you for that truth. We praise you tonight, Lord, that there is hope for all
if they come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, we thank you for the challenge that it has been for our young people. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge of the gospel. And we pray, O God, that you would take your word and speak into hearts this evening. Father, we do thank you for these young people who have taken part. We praise you for them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for their appetite and their willingness to be up at the front and to take part in such a way. And we pray, O God, that you will bless them in their lives. Bless them, Father, Lord, even this summer, as they've been challenged about this summer. We pray, O God, that you will bless them and that they would use their time for thee. We pray, O God, that they wouldn't fritter away those days, but that they would give it all and lay it all before thee. Father, we pray that that would even be the prayer of all of our hearts, for each one of us here this evening who know the Lord. Lord, that you would give us that desire to serve you with all of our fibre, all of our being. And Father, we pray, O God, that you would indeed draw near to us. Father, bless us now as we go our separate ways. Have your hand to be upon us. Take us all our separate ways in safety. We pray these things now in the Saviour's precious name. Amen.